Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
Martin Luther King once said, "Whatever your life's work is, do it well. A man should do his job so well that the living, the dead, and the unborn could do it no better." What do you do for a living? What is your livelihood? That is how we ask someone what their occupation or profession is. The connection between living and working is as old as mankind. People from all ages and cultures have worked. Hunters, gatherers, mothers raising children, children doing homework, all work. When did it begin? In Genesis chapter 1, God created the world and everything in it. Then in chapter 2, verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden toward the east of Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. In verse 15 of chapter 2, it says, "The Lord took the man and put him in the garden to cultivate it and tend it." Man was made to work. He even made woman so that man would not work alone. But then something went wrong. We call it the fall of man. In chapter 3, after Adam and Eve sinned, God said to Adam, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground because of you. With hard labor you shall eat from it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. Yet you shall eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your brow. You shall eat bread until you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." It is important to understand that man was working before the fall, but because of sin, work became labor, and labor became stressful. But man has continued to work since then. In most systems, we are expected to work. We have a work crisis when unemployment numbers go up and the economy suffers. You see a man on a corner with a sign that says, "We'll work for food." For some, work is a burden. For others, it is something to be grateful for. We have the phrase work ethic, a belief in work as a moral good, a set of values centered on the importance of doing work, and reflected especially in a desire or determination to work hard. We even have workaholics. Those guys make the rest of us look bad. So what does the Bible say about work? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined way among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship we kept working night and day, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a role model for you, so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order: if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies." Gee, I didn't know they had Facebook in those days. "Now we command and exhort such persons in the Lord Jesus Christ to work peacefully and eat their own bread. But as for you, brothers, do not grow weary of doing well." That is a work ethic. James 1:17 says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change or shadow of turning." Work is a gift, as it provides a means of support. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Wow! So much for Paul's view of entitlement. Ephesians 4:28. The one who steals must no longer steal, but rather he must labor, producing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. You can go from taking to giving. Acts 20. Paul says, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands served my own needs and the men who were with me. In everything, I showed you that by working hard in this way, you must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Work is serving, and serving is work. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we urge you, brothers, to excel even more and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands, just as we instructed you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. I'm thinking of the old Bachman Turner Overdrive song, Taking Care of Business. 2 Timothy 2. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him. And if someone likewise competes as an athlete, he is not crowned as a victor unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Work has rules and it has rewards. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For you recall, brothers and sisters, our laboring and hardship. It was by working night and day so as to not burden any of you that we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how devoutly and rightly and blamelessly we behaved toward you, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Hard work can be a witness for God. In Acts chapter 18, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to leave Rome. He came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they worked together, for they were tent makers by trade. Did you know that Paul had a secular job as a tent maker? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we can take nothing out of it either. If we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with much grief. It doesn't say money is evil, it says the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. But we should be content with what is provided. Be careful not to let your job be just about the paycheck. Resist the religion of materialism. Remember the parable of the sower that Jesus taught? The seeds among the thorns are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things enter and choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Sometimes we think our job is not important, but really it is. In Israel, only one of the 12 tribes produced priests. That's about 8%. But not all of the tribe of Levi were priests. Even if half of them, which would be a generous estimate, were priests, it would mean only 4% of the people were called into full-time ministry. I believe it'd be more like 1% when you factor in women and children. The point is this. After the priesthood, the rest of the work was left to 99% of the people, and all of their roles were just as essential to making Israel function and survive. An old nursery rhyme goes like this. For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of the shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. For want of a rider, the message was lost. For want of a message, the battle was lost. For want of the battle, the kingdom was lost. And all for the want of a horseshoe nail. The smallest detail, the seemingly insignificant job, can be very huge in the big picture. Whatever your job is, it is important. It provides for you and your family. It contributes to society and the economy. It offers you a sense of purpose. Here are some of the vocations mentioned in the Old Testament. In Genesis 4, Jabal was the father of those who had livestock, in other words, ranchers. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who played the lyre and the flute. They were the first musicians. And then there were many to follow. Heman, Asaph, and Ethan were musicians appointed by King David. Tubal-Cain was a forger of bronze and iron. There were metal workers in the Bible. In Exodus 31, the Lord told Moses, I have called Bezalel of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship to create artistic designs for work in gold, in silver, and in bronze, and in the cutting of stones for settings, and in the carving of wood, so that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. Did you know that being filled with the Spirit can result in craftsmanship? My friend Scotty in California is the most talented, creative, ingenious artist, designer, and inventor. And I've said to him, I believe that God put the Holy Spirit in you to develop those skills and those crafts. In Exodus 38, Oholiab was an engraved and skilled embroiderer and a weaver in violet, in purple, and in scarlet material and fine linen. He was a designer. Miriam, Aaron's sister, took the tambourine in her hand, and all the women came out after her with tambourines and with dancing. God calls some people to dance. God found Gideon threshing wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Elijah found Elisha while he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Elisha was a farmer when he was called to follow the prophet. Farming has always been close to the heart of God. 1 Samuel 14, Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, Come, let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will work for us, because the Lord is not limited to saving by many or by few. His armor bearer said to him, Do everything that is in your heart. Turn yourself to it. And here I am with you, as your heart desires. Some are called to be officers, and others are enlisted men. When Samuel was looking for someone to anoint as king, he said to Jesse, Are these all the boys? And Jesse said, The youngest is still left, but behold, he is tending sheep. Before David was anointed to be king, he was a shepherd, another profession close to God's heart. In 2 Chronicles 24, the Levites carried the chest to the king's accounting office, where the recording secretary and the representative of the high priest counted the money and took the chest back to the temple again. There are accountants in the Bible. And then later, they hired masons and carpenters to restore the house of the Lord, and also workers in iron and bronze to repair the house of the Lord. God needs construction workers. In 2 Samuel 18, David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went to the roof of the gate by the wall and raised his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was running by himself. So the watchman called out and told the king, and the king said, "If he is by himself, there is good news in his mouth." And he came nearer and nearer, and when the watchman saw another man running, the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, "Behold, another man is running by himself." And the king said, "This one also is bringing good news." The watchman said, "I think the running form of the first one is like the running form of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And the king said, "This is a good man. He is coming with good news." This guy was a professional runner. Couriers have been around for a long time. Messengers and reporters are important, at least when they report the truth. Daniel made a request to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of the province of Babylon. While Daniel was in the king's court, Daniel and his friends were administrators. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. In other words, he was a security officer. Now here are some New Testament occupations. Jesus was a carpenter's son. And in Mark 6, they said of Jesus, "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary?" It is not unusual for someone to inherit the family business. In fact, there are several family businesses in the Bible. Jesus told parables that included business owners and their managers. Some family businesses proved to be very important to the gospel. When Jesus was going along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will have you become fishers of people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were also in a boat mending the nets. And he called them, and immediately they left their father Zebedee in the boat and the hired men and went away to follow Jesus. Jesus' first followers were fishermen, working-class heroes. In Acts 4, the people observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, but they were amazed and recognized them as having been with Jesus. They were trained by Jesus. Jesus saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable due to the crowd because he was short in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree in order to see him, because he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." Tax collectors are unpopular even to this day, but they are still called to follow Jesus. The first day of unleavened bread came on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And so Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us so that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" And he said to them, "When you have entered the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and you will say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large, furnished upstairs room. Prepare it there." And they left and found everything just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. Who knew that they had VRBOs and Airbnbs back then? Jesus also told many parables about landlords. Luke wrote one of the Gospels and the book of Acts. In Colossians, Paul calls Luke the beloved physician. There are Christian doctors. I have had several. I love having a doctor who will pray with you before he gives you a shot. There were bankers in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 8, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Remember the parable of the talents? Jesus said to one of the servants, "You ought to have put my money in a bank, and on my arrival I would have received it back with interest." Yes, there are bankers in the Bible. In Acts 9, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha who made tunics and garments. And Peter stayed in Joppa many days with a leather worker named Simon. Tabitha, or Dorcas, was a seamstress. And Simon was a tanner. So there were people in the textile business. Joppa, or Jaffa, was a port, so they likely were also involved in the import-export business. While Peter was in Joppa, he met a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian Regiment. This is one of several military people mentioned in the Bible. In Luke 7, Jesus healed a centurion's servant. A centurion had 100 soldiers under his command. In Acts 13, a governor named Sergius Paulus believed and was converted. Political leaders have always been among us. Some of them are even believers. I have met state governors who are Christians. In Acts 16, a jailer and his entire household were converted. There have also been many of those involved in law enforcement. I have known many police officers and sheriff's deputies. They have my support, and I honor them. Jesus and his family traveled by caravan from Jerusalem to Nazareth. Paul boarded an Adramyttian ship in Caesarea bound for Lycia. There were people in the transportation industry in the Bible. These and many more vocations are mentioned in the Bible. All of them are legitimate occupations. In Paul's famous teaching about gifts in the body of Christ, he says, "The body is not one part but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But now there are many parts and one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" I think the same principle applies to jobs. There are many vocations in the world. All of them are important. All of them can glorify God. All of them can be seen as ministry. The word vocation comes from the same word for voice or vocal. It means calling. Whatever you are called to do, your work matters to God. It is His gift to you. Can you begin seeing your job as a calling? Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, do your work wholeheartedly, as if you were doing it for the Lord and not for people, knowing that it is from the Lord that you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Jesus Christ whom you serve." Next week, we will talk about what to do after hours when the work is done. This is Jim Barrier on Since You Ask.
Since You Ask is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.